I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. It's time now for our Africa update. This week, Congress passes a bill demanding reform in Ethiopia, and the elders visit war-torn Sudan in an effort to help bring peace to the region. For more, we've got Bill Fletcher, the former president of Trans-Africa Forum. Hi, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Let's start out with Ethiopia. Last week, Congress passed the Ethiopian Democracy and Accountability Act. It would bar some financial aid to Ethiopia unless the government improves its record on democracy and human rights. Still needs to go before the Senate. So Ethiopia is an ally in the war on terrorism. What exactly do you see happening with this bill?
This bill grows out of a series of issues that came to the stage in the U.S. in 2005 with a crackdown on protesters. But it also relates to issues that are going on in the Ogaden region of Ethiopia and in the Oromo region of Ethiopia, where the government based in Addis Ababa has been extremely repressive.
So what kind of human rights abuses do you see happening? You just mentioned some of the restrictions on protest.
There were great hopes when the government of Meles came into power in 1991 because he led a coalition that represented different political parties and ethnic groups in Ethiopia. But what subsequently happened is that his political clique is dominated by one particular ethnic group, the Tigray, and other ethnic groups within Ethiopia were slowly but steadily marginalized. So the human rights abuses that we're talking about largely grew out of the growing dissatisfaction among various ethnic groups as well as political groupings in the country that they have no real access to power and to democracy.
Moving on to Ethiopia's neighbor, Eritrea, it rejected millions of dollars in aid. It's a poor nation, and the president of Eritrea said he would not be a spoon-fed African country, vows his nation won't be enslaved. Why is he coming out like this, and is it risky for him to reject the aid?
Well, it's risky, but what many people fail to appreciate is the historical context. Eritrea fought a 30-plus year war against Ethiopia for independence and received almost no outside support. So the notion of self-reliance in Eritrea is not at all a new phenomena. Eritrea sincerely does not want to be dependent on the United States, the EU, the International Monetary Fund. And in that sense, they are continuing an effort that they started since 1991 to exert greater degrees of national sovereignty in terms of economic and political development.
There's a bit of a triangle effect with the Sudan. So last week, Ethiopia pledged 5,000 troops to Darfur to be a part of a UN African Union peacekeeping force. Is this a significant pledge on the part of Ethiopia? And maybe just back up a little bit and describe the relationship between Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Sudan.
Ethiopia and Eritrea have a very special relationship that grows out of Ethiopia's domination of Eritrea shortly after, beginning after World War II, and a long independence war that began in roughly 1961. When the war ended, it appeared at first that Ethiopia and Eritrea were going to work out an excellent relationship. It unfortunately did not work out that way, and a border clash that evolved into a war where hundreds of thousands of people were killed began in the late 1990s. The Sudan factors in here in a very complicated way because at different points, the Sudan has been an ally of either Eritrea or Ethiopia in those conflicts. In the current situation, however, in Darfur, neither Ethiopia nor Eritrea are directly involved. The involvement of Ethiopian troops, I actually look at as more for show. I don't take that quite seriously. And I think it's largely based on the fact that the African Union has its headquarters in Addis Ababa, and the Ethiopian government wishes to portray itself as advancing human rights.
It sounds like you think the Ethiopian pledge is not significant, but the African Union troops seem to be facing an uphill battle.
Oh, no question. And on one level, the AU presence in Darfur absolutely has to be built up. There need to be more troops. And if I could believe that the Ethiopian offer was sincere, I'd say that this was a good step. Ultimately, though, both in Darfur, as well, I would argue, in Eritrea and in Ethiopia, we really need to be searching for political settlements rather than emphasizing the military aspect.
There's a group called the Elders, co-founded by Nelson Mandela and his wife, Graca Michelle, and they traveled last week to Darfur. Here is what Graca Michelle said after a meeting with some local women.
The major problem here is security. When they go out to look for firewood, they are raped, they are beaten. And they said, what about if we suggest to the African Union to organize in groups to protect you, to take you, then to get firewood outside? They said, no, African Union cannot do anything. They don't protect, even in the presence of them, they don't protect us.
Do you think that the visit of the elders or the joint force is going to be able to stop the violence or diminish it?
No, not by itself. But I think what's important for the listener to get is that a political settlement must be the focal point, because the attack, for example, on the AU troops just within the last 10 days was carried out apparently by a splinter group. In the struggle in Darfur, various forces are contending to ensure a seat at the table. If they do not have a seat at the table, if they are not spoken with directly, violence will continue to flare. Thus, there has to be that emphasis on ensuring that all the parties are at the table and that there really is both a carrot and a stick, that there will be support for negotiations, but if the negotiations break down, the continuation of violence will simply not be tolerated by the international community.
Now, the elders also include former U.S. President Jimmy Carter and also Archbishop Desmond Tutu of South Africa. They went to Sudan with part of the group. Here's what Desmond Tutu had to say.
We are deeply committed. We are even more determined than before we came here that we're going to do something about changing the condition of the people of Darfur.
Now, that's one aspect of their commitment, but President Jimmy Carter said, although the U.S. government has already declared this a genocide, President Jimmy Carter said, there is a legal definition of genocide, and Darfur does not meet that legal standard. The atrocities were horrible, but I do not think it qualifies to be called genocide. Is that controversial and potentially destructive to the efforts to bring peace to Darfur?
It is controversial because there is a debate as to whether what is going on in Darfur is legally defined to be genocide versus crimes against humanity, atrocities. In the international community, part of the problem is that the term genocide often gets thrown around very loosely. I think that President Carter probably is saying, let us not focus on whether or not this constitutes genocide. We do know that there are crimes against humanity that must be addressed. And I think the visit by the elders is very important. Frankly, I wish that they had the kind of support where they could stay in the Sudan for a prolonged period of time as active mediators in the process.
Well, Bill, thank you so much.
My pleasure as always.
Bill Fletcher is the former president of Trans-Africa Forum, and he spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters.